Many in Wisconsin are eagerly awaiting a decision from the U.S. Supreme Court on Gill versus Whitford, a Wisconsin case that will help determine the constitutionality of partisan gerrymandering. Some expected that ruling to come down yesterday. It didn't. But the court did issue a ruling in another voting-related case, one that could have implications in Wisconsin and beyond. In a 5-4 decision yesterday, the court upheld a controversial Ohio law that allows the state to purge certain infrequent voters from the state's voting rolls. Supporters of the law say it allows Ohio to keep their voter rolls cleaned up and organized. Opponents say the law hurts voters who don't often turn out to the polls or the ones who move around a lot. Robert Barnes is a reporter covering the Supreme Court for the Washington Post. Robert, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, give us some background. How does this Ohio law work?
Well, this Ohio law, it looks at people who don't vote in the election and then sends them a notice. And the notice says, you know, you didn't show up. We want to confirm that you still live in this district. If you do, send back this card. And then if they don't hear back from the person, and then the person doesn't vote in the next two federal elections, that means over the next 4 years, then Ohio takes that as confirmation that the person has moved, no longer lives in that district, and strikes their name from the rolls.
And at issue in this court challenge is, as I understand it, whether or not that law violates the National Voting Rights Act. So what does that act say about how states can manage their voter rolls?
Well, there are kind of conflicting things in federal law. One of them says that you can't purge of someone from the rolls simply because they didn't vote. People have a right to not show up at the polls and to not vote if they're unhappy with the choices they have. So that's one part of the law. But another part of the law requires states to keep their voter rolls up to date and to find ways to make sure that, you know, people are in the right place, that they don't have a lot of people on the rolls or in districts that no longer live there. And so the question was, you know, does Ohio's law single out people because they didn't vote, or is it because they didn't return this card that they got in the mail? And the majority, the conservatives on the court, said Ohio's law is okay because it's the failure to return this card and then to vote in subsequent elections that knocks a person off the rolls. The liberals said no, the real purpose of the federal law is to encourage people to vote, and so you can't use a failure to vote in any way to start that process of purging people.
Talking to Robert Barnes, Supreme Court reporter for The Washington Post, about the decision out yesterday on Ohio's voter rolls law that allows the state to purge people if they don't vote in a few federal elections and don't, as we heard, return that card they send to say, hey, are you still voting? Robert, we'll dig into the arguments on both sides a little more in just a bit. But first, is this something that people are looking at and thinking this is going to affect other states' laws as well?
Well, it certainly gives states a chance to adopt this Ohio method if they would like to. It's unclear how many will. There are a handful of states that have a procedure right now that's similar to Ohio's. The concern by liberal groups, by voting rights advocates, by minority organizations is that other states will adopt this. I mean, I don't think that there's much debate that this kind of law does tend to favor Republicans who don't, studies show, move as much. It sort of favors those wealthy people because the other side of that is that the poor minorities, they often move more often, requiring this sort of notice to find them, and that they also don't get to vote as frequently as some other people do because they are more restricted because of work or transportation issues. And so, you know, one study in Ohio found that is sort of in the poor and predominantly African-American neighborhoods in Cincinnati. About 10% of voters were purged from the rolls, where in the neighboring mostly white suburb, only 4% were removed. And so, you know, that's the kind of concern that folks have about it.
Now, to translate this for Wisconsin for just a moment, we have same-day registration here in the state. So people might think, well, what's the big deal? You're off the voter roll. You re-register when you show up. That's not the norm in every state, I'm assuming, including Ohio.
That's correct. I think probably, I don't know for sure, but I think Wisconsin is probably a minority in having same-day registration. That has been a thing that some states have been cutting back on in recent years.
Now, you mentioned that disproportionate impact affecting certain areas and groups of people more. Was that issue raised as a constitutional form of voter discrimination? And did that come out in the decisions from the majority and in the dissent by the minority?
Well, there was an interesting back and forth between the conservative Justice Samuel Alito, who wrote the majority decision, and liberal Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Justice Sotomayor says that in a decision that a dissent that only she that she wrote only for herself, I should say, she said that communities that are disproportionately affected by these registration laws should not tolerate efforts to marginalize their influence in the political process. And Alito responded that Sotomayor's dissent was about the policy, not about the law that was relevant in this case, the language of the National Voter Registration Act. And he said that she has not pointed to any evidence in the record that Ohio came up with this program with a discriminatory intent. Now, those are kind of specific words in Supreme Court decisions, because you don't always have to show that a state had a discriminatory intent in passing a law. You only have to show that there was discrimination, that it resulted in discrimination or affected one group more than another. And so, you know, we might see future cases in which that issue is brought out more cleanly and clearly.
Right. I've seen that argument that this doesn't shut the door on future challenges to this law or this kind of law if somebody took the more constitutional issues more head on, as opposed to tackling how it applies statute. Do I have that right?
Yes, you're right. And this was not, you know, a lot of voting rights cases are on these broad constitutional protections. This one was brought about, as I say, sort of conflicting language in the federal statutes. And so we may not be done with this issue.
And in the majority decision, were they making the case that, you know, maybe this is a good reading of the law, maybe it isn't? It's not our job as the Supreme Court to decide that at this point. It should go back maybe to Congress or something to clarify these issues?
That's exactly right. That's what Justice Alito wrote, that the dissent was arguing with the policy of Ohio and maybe Congress in writing the law, but they weren't sort of faithfully applying what the law says.
We'll leave it there. Robert, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Robert Barnes, reporter covering the Supreme Court for The Washington Post. He joined us to talk about the court's ruling that upheld a controversial Ohio law that allows the state to purge certain voters from its voting rolls.